listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Guys, it is a day after Championship Sunday in the NFL, as I said, and we must start with the team that Steve Fezzik, you were telling everybody to watch for. You were getting on everybody's ears and saying, guys, there's a team you're not paying attention to, a team in the AFC, a team who could really run the table here, and that team is the Kansas City Chiefs. Steve Fezzik, you called it a long time ago. You are the man. Congratulations. You did it yet again.
Well, let me interject here, and I'm not Steve Fezzik, but I did stay at a Holiday Inn once. This is Brad Powers, and I'll say this. I'm going to pull behind the curtain here, but in the pre-production meeting, we were going to lead off with Tennessee, talking about how right R.J. Bell, who's not here today, about his first half bet on Tennessee. If you're going to bet Tennessee, bet him in the first half. We were all concerned about Tennessee being gassed, but hold the phone. Mr. Steve Fezzik in the production meeting says, no, we can't lead with Tennessee. We have to lead with my Chiefs, who right here on Straight Outta Vegas, I said 2 months ago, were the most underrated team in the National Football League. So with no R.J. Bell here, you can be rest assured Steve Fezzik's going to get his hot dog in a grandstanding in.
Guess who shows up for no reason at all to get his grandstanding and hot dogging in? You, man.
Go ahead, Steve.
There you go,
and
Steve.
Why shouldn't I do a little grandstanding when the team that I predicted to go to the Super Bowl right after goes 8-0 straight up and against the spread for the rest of the year? The Kansas City Chiefs clearly were undervalued by Las Vegas.
And not just undervalued by a little bit, a smidge, Jonas. 8 straight covers by an average cover margin of 9 points per game. And where they did it, Fez, is mostly on the defensive side of the ball, where they allowed the first 10 games of the season, they allowed about 24 points per game. In this stretch here, the Chiefs have allowed less than 16 points per game. So most of the Chiefs' value was with that defense that was just adjusting for a new coordinator, Fez.
Yeah, Steve Spagnuolo made a huge difference for this defense. Remember, this Chiefs defense 2018 was ranked 26th in the league. This year, by the end of the year, their final 6 weeks, the Chiefs D was playing as a top 10 defense. So if you have the best offense in the league and you have a top 10 defense this year, that makes you the best team in the NFL.
And Jonas, I mean, think about this. You know, if you do have the best offense and a top 10 defense, and this is where we have said this, even going back to last week, in your power ratings, Fez, this Kansas City team right now, as its current form, with this defense playing as well as it has, with a healthy Patrick Mahomes, you think it's one of the best teams of the last 5 years.
Yeah, in fact, they are the best team at the end of the year during the past 5 years. And I know they lost 4 games. Well, Matt Moore started 3 games, and Mahomes was injured clearly for 3 games, and that's why the Chiefs lost 4 games.
Jonas, does that sound right to you? Because I think a majority of the Joe betting public doesn't consider, they think Kansas City's great now that they're going to the Super Bowl, but I think at any point in the last 2 months, they're not walking down Fremont Street thinking that this Kansas City team is historically great. Do you get that same sense?
Oh, yeah. And I mean, I think it's a little bit unfair to judge people and just assume they all walk down Fremont Street. I mean, some of us, you know, have been known to venture to the higher, you know, ranked establishments like the Tropicana, occasionally cross the bridge over to the Luxor. But again, I'm not here to shame people like Brad Powers is on national radio. But to your point, in all seriousness, I think what happened was similar, Brad, to what happened during the college football season. You had kept telling everybody, watch out for Clemson, watch out for Clemson. Nobody was really paying any attention to it because everybody was so fixated and focused on LSU and Ohio State. And you kept saying, while they're getting all the headlines, Clemson continues to roll, and Clemson yet again found themselves in the national championship game with an opportunity to win another national title. With the Chiefs, I think they were so dwarfed by the Lamar Jackson Baltimore Raven talk that they became a better value throughout the course of the season. And once Miami beat New England in week 17, I think they were set up. I think that's why they were so excited for the opportunity, knowing all you need is 2 games. If you get a break, you're going to get both those games at home, and now they're in South Beach playing for a Super Bowl.
And think about the narrative here. I'll use a Fez, you know, tactic here. Think about this for all you driving out there. You know, don't close your eyes, but think about this. If Dee Ford isn't offsides in last year's AFC Championship game, we're talking about a back-to-back Super Bowl type of team, and I think just that you can tell that one play And you know, when you consider value, I think the narrative about this Chiefs team would be completely different if it was the team that made the Super Bowl a year ago, Fez.
Yeah, then we'd be talking about the new dynasty that is going to be the Kansas City Chiefs. And let's face it, the Chiefs in the playoffs, they're even better than the regular season. Why? Because Patrick Mahomes doesn't run very much during the regular season. He only averaged 3 carries per game during the playoffs. He's gotten 7 and 8 carries. And as we can see, he is so effective running the ball, 4 first downs running. And he just seems to glide to the first down, and he ate up that Tennessee Titan man-to-man defense.
Mahomes is the 4th quarterback in the history of the NFL to have 50 rushing yards in consecutive games in a single postseason. Yeah. So you got a running Mahomes. To Fez's credit, the offense is even better.
Yeah, maybe Ryan Tannehill should have taken what Mahomes took, because I one of my Knox locks this weekend on my highly rated, and by highly rated, I mean not rated at all, weekend overnight show was Ryan Tannehill over 15 yards. He finished with 11. I mean, you talk about a kick in the groin and in the shin at the same time. What a pain in the ass that was to sit and watch. I mean, he couldn't scramble that last play and get out of that Frank Clark sack.
No. I mean, that was pathetic.
Yeah, ridiculous. But Patrick Mahomes was the star of that game. Patrick Mahomes has been a star in the postseason. We made a big to-do, guys, about Nick Foles and that run he went on in the postseason. Let's be honest. When Nick Foles came back last year in the postseason, he didn't exactly play that well, all right? It's not like he lit up the Chicago Bears. They needed a lot of help from the Bears and Matt Nagy and Cody Parkey and the uprights to win that game. And then they lost at New Orleans, and what cost them the game was, in fact, a turnover by Nick Foles. It was a deflected interception, but still, Nick Foles didn't exactly light it up in year two. Patrick Mahomes, we've now got a 2-year sample size. Brad, the numbers tell me that what we're seeing is a clutch, big-time performer when it matters most, and we're watching it in Kansas City.
And certainly we are. We talk about a guy in his first 4 playoff starts with 0 interceptions, a guy that the moment certainly doesn't look too big for him at all. Multiple times his team's down double digits, going back to last year's AFC Championship game. They're down 14-0, Kansas City at halftime. Moment didn't look too big for Mahomes then to rally the team to force overtime. Didn't look too big for him when the Chiefs are down 24-0 against the Texans earlier. No panic here. They're down 10 against the Titans. I mean, usually these guys, when it comes to these young players in the postseason, there's a learning curve. You got to pay your dues. We're not seeing it here. I mean, we are with Lamar Jackson, but with Mahomes, I mean, this is incredible. I mean, if you're going to ask me, and I'm going to ask you if you can back this up, Fez, what team right now, we're doing a snake draft, as far as what team or is going to win the next, you know, the most Super Bowls in the next 10 years? Kansas City's won, right?
Oh, clearly.
And it's because of what? Patrick Mahomes. I mean, I think we're looking at who could argue right now that Patrick Mahomes isn't the best quarterback in the NFL, Jonas?
Yeah, there's not a – you can't – I don't think that there's another young quarterback. If you asked every NFL general manager, you got to start your franchise with one quarterback right now in the NFL. I don't think anybody else is taken ahead of Patrick Mahomes. I mean, you can talk about Lamar Jackson all you want, but look, if we're going to go by sample sizes here, and that's what we're discussing, Lamar Jackson's 0-2 in the postseason. Both of those were home playoff games. Granted, Patrick Mahomes has played all his playoff games at home, and I get all that, but 11 touchdowns, no picks. He's been put in tough situations in almost all of those games. Look, they were trailing New England. They were down big in that game against New England. The fact that it went to overtime is a win in itself for the Kansas City Chiefs. And if the overtime rules were different, and you pointed out the offsides penalty, and if their defense could stop any number of third and longs that were converted by New England, there's no doubt in my mind Patrick Mahomes would have driven that offense down the field and given him an opportunity to win. There's nobody in the NFL at that position I'm taking ahead of Mahomes right now. Nobody.
And the leadership he showed when they were down 24-0 to Houston, and you saw him calling out his teammates on the sideline, not necessarily calling them out, but talking harshly to them and then saying, you know, we're going to make this happen. And then they just went out and did it. That is a rare commodity in a second-year quarterback.
I mean, 23 years old and doing that already. I mean, we could be looking at somebody that's going to be historically great at a position that matters more than any other point in the history of the NFL. So two big thumbs up for Kansas City, and another big thumb up for Steve Fezzik.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I don't know if it's possible to ball wash yourself on national radio, but you have accomplished it. If it is a possibility, Steve Fezzik, who has not been wrong in several days here on SOV. So congratulations. Fezzik again calls his shot.
And I've got to look up that term, ball washer, because I'm only familiar being on the 17th tee doing that.
Yeah,
I will say,
speaks for itself. I mean, you know, it's probably not hard to figure out if you think about it long enough. You know what I mean?
You know, this Green Bay team, though, we've been talking about how overrated this team has been really for half the year, because somehow Green Bay went 14-3, but they actually got outgained by their opponents. They only outscored their opponents by 60 for the year. So this was a team that we felt the national media was talking about being a contender, and Aaron Rodgers being a greatest of all time type of quarterback contender. And we just didn't see it at all. And it crashed and burned here this past Sunday.
And that certainly was the case not only yesterday, Jonas, but in the previous meeting versus the 49ers. And Fez, you had a great stat. If you're looking at, hey, this team is not a good matchup as far as the Packers against the 49ers, when's that going to show up? Probably early on in the game, and we saw it in the first half. Cumulative score the first half of the two games?
San Francisco 50. And the Packers 0. So talk about a fundamental mismatch. San Francisco came in the second game saying, you know, Green Bay couldn't stop the run game one, and we're just going to keep running it till they can stop it game two. And they're still running it in the fourth quarter. Green Bay never had an answer to that zone blocking scheme.
And Jonas, I mean, it didn't matter who was in it running back. Tevin Coleman out, no worries. I mean, even if Mozart isn't in there, I think Jonas could have run through some of those holes. I mean, the zone blocking scheme for the 49ers. I mean, the reality was the Packers couldn't get off their blocks.
Yeah, it was. You didn't have to watch the all-22s. You don't need to be a football expert. It was obvious and glaring that it was a complete and total mismatch for Green Bay. And look, when Kansas City got down to Tennessee, I wasn't worried at all. Like nothing about that worried me. When Green Bay got down to the Niners and it was 10-0 after Robbie Gould hit that field goal, I said, oh, that's it. It's over. Like, it didn't feel right. And we've talked about it on the show. Green Bay didn't feel 13-3. It didn't feel like it. You can go back to several games. You want to go all the way back to that Monday night game against Detroit, in which Detroit was screwed on a couple of calls. Like, Green Bay probably should have lost that game. And then you factor in the fact that they'd been to California twice in the season. They got annihilated by the 49ers the first time out, and then they got killed by the Chargers the second time. This just played into what you guys have been talking about all season long. Green Bay was not the team that their record said they were. It's why you pointed out the stats and the yardage. It just didn't feel like this was a team that was going to go in there and be able to pull this off.
And it didn't feel like Aaron Rodgers felt like they were going to pull it off either. He did not seem engaged at all. We talked about Mahomes actively running the ball, calling out his teammates on the sidelines. Contrast that to Aaron Rodgers, 0 yards rushing for the game. And frankly, end of the second quarter, the game is still in hand, 17-0. He fumbles the ball. And what does he do? He just backs up, hopes one of his guys recovers it instead of rushing forward, trying to recover it himself. I just don't understand how Aaron Rodgers was approaching this game.
You hear that, Jonas? Hot take from Fez. You must have been listening to the herd today. That was one of his leads. Aaron Rodgers bails on head coaches. He bails on plays. I mean, he just, when the going gets tough, he gets going.
Steve Fezzik, he's the Cheesecake Factory menu. There's a ton on there, man. You never know what you're going to get. You just flip a page, it's a whole new style, and he's calling his shots. He's giving out hot takes, but he's not wrong. Fez, back to the 49ers as we transition from the Packers over to the 49ers. I mean, you, before the season, what did you see before the season? Or was it just a gut feeling that led you to believe this team's going to be vastly improved over where they were a year ago? They were 4-12 a year ago. They get Nick Bosa in the draft. They even joked this week or last week, Jimmy Garoppolo and Kyle Shanahan, it was a blessing in disguise when they suffered the knee injury. I know you've got sort of an affinity for Jimmy Garoppolo, but there had to be more to this team that you liked heading into the season.
Well, Jonas, first and foremost, you got to know this.
I love Jimmy G.
Yeah,
I
mean, that starts any handicap with any San Francisco game, first quarter
that's
total,
the foundation, yes.
Season win total. That's his starting off point.
The foundation,
this.
Of course.
I love Jimmy G.
And let's face it, San Francisco was down to their third string quarterback, and Nick Mullins, I kept hearing, oh, you know, this guy's pretty darn good. You look at his underlying numbers, and bottom line, if Nick Mullins can put up pretty good numbers for you, then what's Jimmy G going to do when he's behind center? And obviously that was a buy sign when we saw San Francisco having competitive games with their third string quarterback last year.
Jonas, you brought this up in all the reading you do, and you do an unbelievable job of going through the articles and trying to give us, you know, maybe some things we should.
You're right. Yeah, that's a great point. You're right.
Yeah. What we should be looking at. And, you know, one of the articles you read was, hey, the blessing in disguise was maybe Jimmy G getting hurt. That allowed them to get that number two pick, Bosa.
Yeah, and Bosa's been a monster. And you know this, Brad, from covering college football. Look, he got a little bit of pushback when he decided he was going to play it safe and get out and get in the draft. But if you heard Urban Meyer talk about him, everybody who watched him play said this guy is as good as his brother, if not better. Like, he's the real deal. And when he was sitting there and you already had Jimmy Garoppolo, and I'll say this, and we've been teasing Fez that he's gotten so much of this right. I think one of the most – you were the only guy to say this, Fez – and I think it makes a ton of sense, and we've now got two games to look at. You pointed it out. Their bye week was when? After week four of the season? So they went all that stretch of games. So when you saw the defense allowing all those points down the stretch, people thought, okay, well, maybe this isn't the defense we thought they were early in the season. But Fez, you pointed out that there was another issue with the defense that wasn't being factored in. And as we've seen them off a bye, it's starting to play out like you were correct in that regard.
Yeah, so the first 7 weeks of the season, San Francisco's defense right there with New England, giving up 11.5 points per game. Since then, they gave up 26, and it looked like that defense was leaking oil. Now, the narrative on that defense is, oh, it's personnel, it's the injuries. Quan Alexander, middle linebacker out, Dee Ford was injured, Tart, their strong safety, was injured, and they got all those guys back, and that's why that defense is so much better. But it turns out when you grade out these players, Pro Football Focus is not giving these players good grades. They don't appear to be back to 100%. I think far more important was getting that bye week before the playoffs started. And now, of course, San Francisco gets another bye week before the Super Bowl, edge 49ers.
Yeah, and if you also factor in, look at that three-game stretch they had late in the season where they went, they hosted Green Bay, then they went to Baltimore, they were at New Orleans, they ended up going 2-1. It was a historic three-game stretch. All those teams and their winning percentages. The 49ers were the first team to play a schedule in a three-game stretch that difficult that late in the season.
Good point.
So rest did them well, and they're on to the Super Bowl. So the 49ers move on.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Brad Powers, you have a question mark going into this game. We're going to be sprinkling these in throughout the next couple of weeks here because Vegas looks at this game a little bit differently. But Brad, your question mark involves one of the key players heading into Super Bowl Sunday coming up in a little less than 2 weeks from now.
Yeah, and I, Brad Powers, unlike Mr. Steve Fezzik, I don't have such an affinity for Jimmy G. And I think the question being is, how is Jimmy G going to respond in, you know, an atmosphere where maybe the 49ers aren't up 20-0 in the second quarter, or that they're not significantly the better team like the 49ers were against the Vikings? Here's the question I have. Do the 49ers really, when it gets down to it, do they really trust Jimmy G in a one possession type of game with everything on the line? Here's a guy right now, Jimmy G, 27 pass attempts in these two playoff games. They haven't needed him. Kudos to the 49ers. They've been able to run the football. But right now, Patrick Mahomes in the second quarter of this year's playoffs has more passing yards than Jimmy G does has in those two games combined.
No, he does. Is that a legitimate stat?
Yeah, it's legitimate. He's got more passing yards in one quarter than Jimmy G has in two games combined.
Jimmy G completely untested in these playoffs, 77 passing yards, and it kind of emphasizes how good betting props can be, because Jimmy G's number for the game on Sunday was 240 passing yards. If you bet under 240 passing yards, you never had to sweat that at all. Now, it's going to be difficult for the odds makers in terms of setting the number in the Super Bowl, because one has to feel, with Kansas City a small 1-1.5 point favorite, that Jimmy G is not going to be able to just hand the ball off like he did against the Vikings and the Packers in this game.
Jonas?
By the way, so Jimmy Garoppolo, I'm showing he's got 27 pass attempts in the playoffs. Are we all on the same page here?
Yep.
Okay, so 27 pass attempts. Josh McCown had 24, and he came into that game because of injury. and he only played, and he played less than a game. So Josh McCown, in less than a game, has three less attempts than Jimmy Garoppolo in the postseason. But you know what? A lot of people want to criticize him and say, well, he's not doing his part. Man, Ryan Tannehill, it was the same situation. If you're winning playing a certain style, what do they care? They've already paid him. The contract's already done. It's not like they're out there trying to make him earn it. You've already given him his money. If you're winning games this way, I don't have an issue with it. If they can't stop, if teams can't stop them from running the football, if Jimmy Garoppolo pulls a Joe Namath again and doesn't throw the football in the fourth quarter when they're leading in a Super Bowl, I have no issue with it whatsoever. Like, who cares?
Yeah, and neither do I. And that's going to be yet lead into another question mark, Jonas, that we're going to dive into over the next couple weeks as we go inside and out as far as the handicap of this game goes. Will the 49ers have to rely on Jimmy G? Because season-long statistics for Kansas City's rush defense, Fez, doesn't look too promising as far as the Chiefs being able to stop that high-powered San Francisco ground attack.
Sure looks like a key fundamental mismatch here with that San Francisco ground and pound attack looking so good and the Kansas City rush defense, which gave up 5 yards per rush all year long. And I can make a case for, there's some that are saying, well, wait a minute, Kansas City's defense has greatly improved, and I certainly have been on the forefront talking about that, but it's still the rush defense that's vulnerable, and Derrick Henry didn't have any problems in the first quarter moving through that defense, and then as the game progressed, it certainly looked like Derrick Henry was paying the price for having too many carries. Specifically, go back to week 17 when he got the rushing title and they handed him the ball 30 times. He looked to be absolutely not himself by the second quarter in the second half.
Vegas! Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.